This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Puck Nuts, Puck Heads, everybody out there. Thank you for tuning in to What the Puck. And guess what we're actually going to talk about? We're going to talk about hockey and playing hockey and hockey.
Wait, what's that?
All of that. I mean, just all that stuff. Of course, Skyping in with me. We got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. We're not in a courtroom anymore. We are actually on the ice.
Wait, was that a joke at my jury duty expense?
Did you get picked? I didn't even know if you got picked.
No, I didn't get picked. I got out of there about 11 o'clock.
Okay. Good for you, jerk. I had to do a case, but whatever. All right, who cares? Training camp, man. Training camp started Sunday.
Training week.
we got a little training camp going. Before
well, that's my biggest concern right now. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's my biggest concern with a team like this. With you have a brand new coach who's going to bring in a new system, and he only gets a week, where he should be getting an entire summer and training camp to do it, and he only gets a week. So that's certainly going to be a concern for the Caps in the first week or two, maybe the first couple of games.
It is definitely going to be something we got to think about. Before we jump into training camp, let's just make a quick note of this. The new CBA was signed late by the players on Saturday night. Everyone knew that was going to happen, and they released the schedule. They released everything. That's how training camp happened on Sunday. But it was great to see the fans back at Kettler. They packed that place. It was kind of funny because there were some protest jerseys, people wearing Dynamo jerseys, and what the players were wearing over in Europe. So that was kind of interesting to see. But like you said, we have this new coach coming in. He's getting a shortened season. He's getting players who have been in different systems with different coaches. So everyone has to get in tune with everybody else. Even though it's just a week here, the Capitals, a lot of them know each other and they've played for a long time. I think with Ovechkin and Backstrom playing in Dynamo, that's actually going to be to their advantage because they've kind of built on their relationship that they've already had.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to – I think these guys, a lot of them have been here before, and there's not a lot of new guys. There's like Joey Crabbe is new. Hillen is new. A lot of these guys, Ribeiro is new, but a lot of these guys have been here before, so it's certainly not going to be too much of a learning curve, and it's all going to depend on how similar Oates' system is with what they've done in the past. But it seems like with going with practices, everything seems to be going well. The guys are coming out and saying that they like the system, they like Oates, everything's going great, but you're not really going to expect anything different. I'm not really expecting these guys to come out and say, I hate him, this is a terrible hire, why do we have this guy? Like, this is not going to happen. So hopefully they're telling the truth and that things are going to go well. But it seems like, especially with the power play, it seems like things are staying very similar to what they were. Ovechkin's on the point on both power play units. He'll either be with Green or Carlson. And then you have Volskin on the first power play. And interestingly enough, I believe someone tweeted this out today. Your favorite player on the Capitals, Joel Ward, was on the second power play unit today, at least in practice. So maybe that was because somebody was out. I'm not entirely sure, but that could certainly be interesting. Maybe they're going to park his big body right in front of the net to use him as a screen to the goalie.
That's something to think about. You know, we've seen Troy Brouwer in front of the net a lot of times, whether it's on the power play or not. So maybe getting Joel Ward in there, having a little bit of practice, maybe that's something that Oates sees in him. We'll see, you know, as this season actually rolls on, as we get hockey coming up this weekend. I've heard that Oates kind of has this hybrid way of doing things that kind of reminds people of Bruce Boudreau, kind of reminds people of Dale Hunter, that he's a hybrid of the two, because Boudreau was very much offense, 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 and Hunter was more conservative. He was more defense, 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 which helped out in the postseason, but didn't get any farther than Bruce ever did. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I saw an article earlier on Puck Daddy. I read a little bit of that, and it said that Oates and Ovechkin, that there's a good chance they're going to get along because of the way that Coach Oates has played and how he is a coach, how he's an assistant coach up in New Jersey. So it'll be very interesting to see how it goes, because as we know with the past two coaches, the way that Ovechkin works with them and the way that he interacts with them weighs heavily on their shoulders and on this entire franchise.
Yeah, I mean, to go back with Boudreaux, I think that his system worked for a while, and then other teams sort of figured it out. I think he could have sort of done a similar thing to what Oates is probably going to do, but he changed his system a couple of times already. I think the players were tired of hearing it. In regards to Oates, I think he's, you know, he loves the game of hockey. He's what they, I guess you would call a student of the game. He knows what he wants. He knows how to get it from these players. And from everything I'm reading, that the players agree with him. They really like what he's going to do. I think it's going to be more towards what Boudreaux was doing, but they're actually going to have some defensive ideas here instead of it's just like, well, we're just going to outscore them. It's going to be, we're going to outscore them and we're going to stop them from scoring. Or, you know, they're going to do their best to do that. So we'll see how things go. I don't like that he only has a week to let it to institute this new scheme. And I think that they're going to have some trouble in the first couple of games. So I don't think that this Caps team is going to be, you know, it's not, the team you see in the first couple of games isn't necessarily going to be the team you see at the end of this season. But the fact that they only have 48 games, you know, this is, it's not ideal. You know, they're going to struggle. And then if they struggle out of the gate, they're going to have a hell of a run later on to be able to make the playoffs.
Well, absolutely. They're going to have to do that. And it's definitely hard on these guys. And I think getting the first couple games underneath their belt is really going to help them getting out there on the ice in a competitive way, not just in practice. You can scrimmage as much as you want. It's not the same as being, you know, on NHL ice and being up against some of the other best players of the world. We'll see what happens. What kind of weighs in my head a little bit, going through training camp and everything, Coach Oates was down in Hershey for a while, and I'm sure that he bonded with Braden Holtby. You know, Newby was over in Europe playing, and he was keeping his skill sharp. But we heard in a press conference earlier this week that Oates said that he hasn't made a decision really on the goalie situation, but the guys are playing as if Holtby is the one that's going to start on Saturday. And because of the run that he had in the postseason and what he's done in Hershey, I got to say that, you know, I expect Holtby to be in net on Saturday. Come Saturday, anything could happen. We saw that at the beginning of last season. You know, so long ago, back in October of 2011. But I think Holtby and Nuvi, there's definitely going to be a little bit of a goalie controversy, just like there's been the last few years here in Washington. So I think Oates and Holtby, they've got to have a good relationship by now.
I don't know if I would call it so much of a goalie controversy. I think with a short season like this, having two goalies is going to help because you can sort of play one and then play the other, and both guys will be, you know, they won't be as tired and they'll be rested by the time playoffs comes around. So having these two guys playing and pushing each other, I think is actually going to help the Caps. I think in the end, you're going to see one of them trade in the offseason, depending on how Philip Grubauer progresses in Hershey. And I think it's going to, you know, I think this is a good thing for them. I like having these two guys here. It's better than having just, you know, Holtby and a veteran backup. You want to have these two guys pushing one another, especially that they're young. If one of them was an older veteran, it would certainly be a different story. But they have two young guys. They're both very talented goalies. I read the same thing about Holtby. The guys are sort of playing like he's the starter, and I think that kind of makes sense based on his playoff performance last year, where he kind of came out of nowhere and played fantastic. I think he earned the right to get the nod at this as the starter, but without any preseason games, you know, you can't really do anything else. So we'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the start Saturday night, and then maybe Neuwirth gets the start on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think we're going to see these guys rotate a lot, but it's got to weigh heavily on Nuvi's mind, the fact that he's not getting the start this time around. And he did get it last year. You know, we had a veteran, Tomas Vokoun, and he didn't get the start last season. And when he actually did get his start of the season, he looked pretty bad. So it's going to be something to watch here in Washington. But
If Neuwirth is going to have a big problem with you know, the fact that he's not starting, then he's clearly got more going on than the fact that he's just not, you know, he's not starting one game in the NHL. The whole thing should always be a competition. Unless you're Martin Brodeur or Henrik Lundqvist, you're going to have competition. You have to always expect that someone's going to try to beat you to your position, because if you're in this game at this high level, you want to be the best and you always want to be playing. So if he's not going to be happy with the fact that he's not starting, then I don't really want him on the team. I want guys that want to be the starter and are always going to compete. And if someone says, well, I'm going to have this guy do it, they're going to go out and say, well, you did the wrong thing and I'm going to compete and I'm going to show you that I'm better than the guy you picked. And if that's not him, if he's just going to sulk, then, you know, it's not going to help the team and it will – that's his problem, then they should maybe ship him out. But I don't think it's gonna, you know, he's going to come out and he's going to say what he wants to say, but I'm hoping that he's going to push and do his best, because the Caps are going to need it.
They are going to need it. And people that have sulked and said that they, you know, just want to be given a the goalie of the week or whatever award that they want to get, it was Varley. He did not like the fact that he was competing with Nuvi. And we see what happens to him. He went over into Colorado. So, you know, it's not something new to have two young goalies and kind of rotating them out to see who would get number one pick after a while. But it was very interesting. I don't know if you got to see any of the highlight videos or whatever, but during this week of training camp, the Reading Royals, the new ECHL team for the Capitals, they came to D.C. and they had a scrimmage at Arlington, Virginia in Kettler against the Capitals. And we can talk a little bit more about the goalies here, but Holtby, he didn't have the greatest showing. I mean, given he was the goalie for the Reading Royals.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of help.
That's
not a shot at the Royals, but it's the NHL team versus the ECHL team. The score was kind of expected.
Of course, but Holtby did let, you know, four goals in within the span of, you know, what, like 15 minutes. And you had Ovi and Carlson and Johansson and Beagle all coming at you. So it was at least something to kind of consider when talking about these goalies, even with the help of an ECHL team in front of them.
I mean, the thing with Holtby is that we haven't – we saw him for the playoffs last year. I mean, we saw him for a couple other games. He's never played in the NHL for a full season, so we don't really know what we're going to get with him. So that's certainly a concern, and having him play in Hershey certainly helped because he's now ready to play. He's not coming in cold, and we'll see how things go. But by no means is Holtby the future in net for the Washington Capitals. We just don't know what we're going to see. Right now, Neuwirth is, you know, he looks like a better option because we, to some extent, we know what we're going to get with him. We don't necessarily know what we're going to get with Holtby. You know, he's had struggles in the past and where he goes through slumps, and we're hoping that's not going to happen again, but we just don't know.
We've always had high hopes for the guy. I've always been a big fan of Holtby, and everybody knew the Holtby name after the postseason this past year. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens, and I look forward to these two guys kind of battling it out. But during the training camp, is there anyone else that you kind of has kind of caught your eye and you kind of were happy about what you've seen so far?
Well, one guy I'm happy to have back is Eric Fehr. The Caps signed him last week. Technically they brought him in, but when the lockout was officially over and everything got signed and everything was finalized, they signed Fehr. They got him back for a year at $600,000. So he's certainly a great deal to have that guy back. I certainly like him. I find it interesting. I think they brought him back partially because they know him. He did really well during the lockout playing overseas. I believe it was in Finland. And it was Finland or Norway. I can't remember. And I think he did great. I like having him back. I certainly think he's going to be a replacement if someone like Joel Ward doesn't work out. Oh, and he's a guy, since Brooks Like is going to be out probably for the next couple of weeks, he's a guy that can fill in not at the center spot, but you can sort of bump someone over and put Fehr in there because Fehr can score. He has never – you know, he sort of – as he came into the NHL, he didn't really start out of the gate. But as we remember, you know, watching especially the Winter Classic, I mean, he got those two goals to give the Caps the win. So I like having Fehr back. I was very excited to have him back. I certainly called it on Twitter because I was talking about bringing Eric Fehr back, and then within like 20 minutes, it was announced that the Caps were bringing him in. You know, that was like, mine. I said it first. You know, give me the credit. But that was great. One guy I thought was going to do well for the Caps was Cameron Schilling. He's a defenseman, but they actually sent him back to Hershey the other day. That certainly surprised me. So I think the Caps' defensive lines are certainly set with Carlson and Alsner. Green and Hammerlick, and this one is going to drive me crazy every time they're on the ice, but it looks like Schultz and Erskine are going to be playing together. Everybody take a deep breath. And then Jack Hillen sort of hanging around. And there's Orloff, but it seems like Orloff is injured. He's probably going to start the season on the IR. And then we'll see when he comes back. And then one guy that they're talking about is Tom Wilson, the recent Caps draft pick who they brought in. They actually sent him back to the Plymouth Whalers today in the OHL. But George McPhee and Coach Oates both said great things about him. And it certainly seemed like they were going to give him a shot to stick around for the first couple of games of the season and see what he's got. But this is a guy who I certainly think is going to make this roster in the next couple of years. That he has the skills, and it's just, you know, maybe he's got to get a little – they think he needs to get a little bit bigger, or he needs to sort of refine his skills a little bit. But you know, apparently he was there at camp, and he looked comfortable. He wasn't one of those guys that had the big eyes and was so excited that he's playing with these superstars. He was comfortable in camp. They like what they saw. I'm certainly excited to see how he does. And then a lot of people are talking about Mike Ribeiro and sort of the way he plays. He's not a big hitter. He's not going to go out there and level somebody, but he's a great setup man. He scores goals. It looks like right now he's going to be online with Wojciech Volski and Troy Brower. which certainly could be interesting because you have Brouwer probably crashing the net and Volskin and Ribeiro taking shots from the outside or trying to sneak in front. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. We'll see how Oat's system works out. And one more interesting thing from training camp, I thought, was Ovechkin's going to be playing on the right wing.
It's pretty different.
He's done it a couple times in the past, but he even admitted, which makes me nervous, that he's not exactly comfortable in the defensive zone playing on the right wing. And I was like, oh, God, why don't we wait till next season to do this? Why would you do this when you only have a week? But apparently, I've read that either Oates came to Ovechkin or Ovechkin came to Oates with the idea of putting him on the right wing to give defenses a different look. So we'll see how that works. But right now, their first line looks like it's going to be Johansson, Backstrom, and Ovechkin. That's a lot of speed on that line. Except for the problem with all of that speed is if they're not paying attention, they're going to run into each other, as Ovechkin and Johansson did during that scrimmage versus Reading. And actually, both remained down on the ice for a little bit. Ovechkin actually had to go back to the locker room because apparently he got a cut on his chin from Johansson's helmet. But both guys came back later. Ovechkin scored a goal, I believe, in the 8-0 win over Reading.
8-0 win. That's kind of scary.
Well, it's the ECHL team. I mean, it's no offense to them, but it's just, you know, if at one point it's like they hadn't scored in the first like 10 minutes. I was like, guys, it's a minor league team. You know, like you do something.
Right. Yeah, I want to go back and talk about Eric Fair real quick. He was a guy that I was really upset that he was traded to Winnipeg. He was from Winnipeg, so it was a good thing for him to be on that first team once the Jets came back. He was really excited about it, but I was always a big fan of Eric Fair. The biggest problem with Eric Fair, though, and it's his only bad quality, is the guy, it's hard for him to stay healthy.
He's made of glass.
Yeah, he gets injured pretty easily. And, of course, he is a hockey player, so no injury keeps him down too long. But there's always something. He was injured for a long part of the Winnipeg season that he was with. So if he is going to be there for as long as Brooks Likes is out and he's not playing every game and he's a healthy scratch every once in a while, that might be the best thing for him. I'm happy to see him back, though, because like you said, in the Winter Classic, he got those two goals. He gets up to the net and he makes those dirty goals. He's not one of those guys like Ovechkin and Green who's going to put on a show and get a nice slap shot and get the goal or get the puck in the net. He's going to get up there and he's going to get into the goalie's face and he's going to, you know, try to stick the puck out from underneath the goalie. So he's a guy I'm really happy we have. He reminds me a lot of Knuble, and maybe that's why they picked him up. He's a little bit younger of a Knuble. But it's great to have him back in D.C., and he's a great guy to follow on Twitter. If you saw the picture of him and Matty P. when Matty P. was in a full
zip-up. Yeah,
I like
Carlson's response. Eric Fair was looking for – he wanted a new picture before I get hit on Twitter. And everyone – Carlson just kept sending him pictures of Fair and Carlson. There's like four – it's just like you could tell that like the guys were excited to have him back, and there's certainly a comfort level, which is one of the reasons why I'm sure that he wanted to come back to Washington. And it's just, if he can stay healthy, I think he's a great pickup, especially for how much he cost and only $600,000. So if he doesn't work out and he's injured or he doesn't have the skills he had before for whatever reason, it's not a lot of money sitting up in the press box. So I certainly think that was a great move to have him come in. And if they're going to go and they're going to move out a guy like a Joel Ward using one of their amnesty deals to be able to move him out in the offseason, then having a guy like Eric Fair, who can come in and play on that third line with the Chimera and a like or Beagle, I think that's a great line. I think that's a great guy to have. And Fair, honestly, I think has more of a scoring touch. He may not be as big as Ward or have sort of the same physical presence, but you know, he's not a little guy. He's going to be able to get to the front. He's going to try and score goals. He's got more offense than Ward does. So I think that works out in the end for the Caps.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back, Fair. Glad that you're back in a Caps jersey, in the red. I think he is as well. So thank you for coming back to D.C. Congrats on the job. Who else we were talking about was some of the defensive guys. Cam Schilling, he likes to be called Cameron Schilling.
I saw that too. I thought that was funny.
So excuse me, sorry, not Cam Schilling. But he's going back down to Hershey. He was a guy they wanted to give a look to for defense. The only thing that you were talking about with defense, the defensive lines, I would like to see John Erskine and Mike Green on a line together, because Mike Green's fast, but Mike Green needs a lot of protection. He's another guy who gets injured very easily, and a lot of people, because he had a big injury with a concussion, people were targeting, putting him into the boards, and Erskine won't take that kind of crap. Erskine's he's a goon, he's a big guy, and he'll take you out, and I would like to see somebody on the ice kind of protecting Green, and even though Green can take care of himself, nothing against him, you ever saw him in a fight with Kovalchuk, he can take care of himself, but it's good good to have a guy like John Erskine on the line pushing people around, knowing not to go after him. And the other guy we were talking about, Tom Wilson, I think one of the biggest reasons he did have a chance of making the Capitals maybe next year, maybe Hershey next year. But I think the main reason why they brought him into training camp is I don't think that they saw him for the World Juniors. I think because he didn't make Team Canada. He was cut before anything would really go on. I think Coach Oates and GMGM wanted to see Tom Wilson on a bigger stage. And I think they wanted to see him during the World Juniors, but of course he wasn't there. So I think that's why they brought him in to training camp. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I think they see that. And you brought up that they really liked what they saw. I read that Coach Oates said that he was more mature. I think that was the biggest thing that I read and I was most impressed with, is that Coach Oates said, I just saw him in July, but he looks more mature in just those few months because he looks comfortable with the other guys. And that's going to be really important because he's a young guy. He said, I grew up watching Backstrom and Ovechkin. So he's pretty young, and so he's always been a hockey fan.
Well, they compare him – the comparisons when he got drafted was from comparing him to Milan Lucic, which as long as he's not as big of a douche as Lucic is, like I won't mind having him on the team. I think he's going to be one of those guys that he's going to be – to go back to older Caps, kind of like a Chris Simon, where he's going to be one of those guys that's going to protect – your players. And like you were saying with Erskine's out there sort of protect Mike Green, I personally, I'd rather have it be a forward that's protecting any of your players if he's going to be your goon, or you're sort of like Tom Wilson will be, where he won't be your goon. He's going to be a guy who, you know, he's going to play hard, he's going to score goals, but if you get in his face, he's also going to, you know, punch you. So he's one of those guys, but I'd rather have a guy be a forward that, because I'd rather lose one of your 12 forwards than lose one of your six defensemen. But that's just personally how I feel. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Wilson was a great pickup. I think Forsberg is going to be great when he comes over next season. I don't know. You know, maybe he'll take Ribeiro's place. But there's certainly a lot to look forward to both this season and in the future for the Caps.
Absolutely. And this season, it's a shortened season, but it's going to be great just to have hockey on TV again. And I'm super excited. It was announced earlier today that all 48 games of the Washington Capitals will be televised. So that's great news if you're a hockey fan, especially if you're a Caps fan. And they're going to be jumping around from CSN to CSN Plus and NBC. There's going to be some NBC Sports networks that are going to be national. But, of course, if you are local to the Maryland, D.C. area, you're going to look for Comcast Sportsnet. That's where we get to hear Joe B. And we get to hear Locker, Alan May. I'm super excited to see those guys back on my television. And I believe the game this Saturday starts at 7:30, and of course Caps Central is going to be on before that at 7 o'clock. So I'm very excited. We've got Tampa Bay coming up. It's a Southeast Division foe. We're going to be going down to Florida. What are you going to be looking at in this first game?
Well, I'm just going to see how they do with Oates' system, especially with the fact that they only had a week to really learn it. I mean, it wasn't even like they had a week to learn it, but they've been talking about it beforehand. They weren't allowed to talk to him at all and learn anything about the system. So they've had less than 6 days technically to learn the system, to figure out how they're going to do this and to be able to take it into a real game. So I want to see how the guys do. I want to see if they get confused or if they're sort of playing playing smoother. I'm expecting some problems along the way. I'm expecting guys to sort of get lost or make mistakes, and Oates will have to go and continue to work with them understanding the system. But we'll see how that goes. And the other thing I'm looking at that is going to make me very nervous is that they were talking about, at least Oates was saying that he wants to put Ovechkin on the penalty kill. And he did it with Kovalchuk in New Jersey. And the thing that makes me nervous about this is that it's so much easier to get injured on the PK, especially if you're blocking shots. And now I've done, you know, they use Backstrom in the past on the PK and Semin occasionally. But it makes me nervous. And every time he's out there, I'm going to go, dude, don't get hurt. But, you know, it's one of those things that if he's certainly got a big enough body to block shots, and he's quick enough to steal the puck, and you got to think he has a good chance to get some shorties when he's out there. So it'll be interesting to watch and see. In regards to the Tampa game, I'm just hoping they win. I just don't like Tampa. I hate St. Louis, little Frodo. That dude bugs me.
I think the most important aspect of this game is what you just brought up. It's learning Coach Oates' system. It's going to see how these guys are adapting to it. See what guys can kind of shake off the rust of not playing. Because even though there were a few over in Europe, there were a lot of guys that stayed in D.C., like Mike Green and John Carlson. So it'll be interesting to see these guys back in a competitive atmosphere. And I hope the excitement doesn't get to the best of any of them. So that's what I'm really looking for. I would love for the Capitals to win, but at this point, I want them to be able to learn that system and get it ready for the postseason, as long as the Capitals make it in the postseason, to go after, you know, Lord Stanley and bring the Stanley Cup to D.C., which is the ultimate goal. And I think this game is going to be very important, especially with that shortened training camp and the shortened season, to be actually on the ice and say, oh, okay, this is what Oates wants. This is what Oates has been talking about. This is his system, because the Dale Hunter system really did not click until, you know, until these guys went up against Boston in the quarterfinals. So it'll be very interesting to see in this game. And I'm just so, so happy to have hockey back on TV. I can't wait for Saturday.
I mean, I'm still kind of angry and disgusted with the league in the way that they behave throughout the entire lockout. And
well, let me just cut you off there real quick. I'm ticked off too. I'm really ticked off at the hashtag, hockey is back.
Oh my God, that's annoying the crap out of me.
Hockey never left, man.
No, it didn't.
No, you guys took off because you wanted to talk more about money and everything. Hockey's still around. Hockey, we can get hockey wherever you want. You are not the only outlet. I know that you think you are, but there's KHL on ESPN3. There's the Hershey Bears. There's the Reading Royals. Hockey is all over the place. There's college hockey in Baltimore. So hockey is back. That's very naive to say.
That whole thing is bugged. Hockey, no, you're back. Hockey never left. They're playing in the AHL and the ECHL. They're playing up in Canada. They're playing overseas. It never left, you schmucks. It was just you guys and your freaking money problems. So, but yeah, I mean, like it bothered me the whole thing. I still haven't worn any Caps gear, but I think, you know, I'm getting more excited every day. I wake up and I go, ooh, okay, we're a little closer to watching. And like, I'll go and I'll play NHL 13, or I'll go back and I'm going on YouTube and watch clips of things happening, and I'll see like commercials on TV, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I do remember what this was like. It was a lot of fun, and I'm still pissed, but I'm also getting very excited to see these guys play. And I'm excited to actually head down to Verizon Center tomorrow night, as the Caps will be having open practice. The Verizon Center will be open from 6 to 9 p.m. and the practice will start at 7. I'll be heading down there with some friends. Probably they're going to be practicing from about 7 to around 8, and they're going to have a Q&A with some players. I'm not exactly sure who. Now, this is an interesting thing. They say it's open to the public, but they also have a way for you to RSVP on the Caps website. So if you don't RSVP, are they going to let you in?
That's like, interesting.
Really know it's one or the other. Like, are you just RSVPing because you're curious how many people come, or are you just curious how many people go to your website? But along with that, I believe they're going to have free food and beverages. That doesn't include alcohol, so beer and liquor still cost whatever, you know, $10 or whatever it normally costs. And if I read this correctly, they're also having 20% off all the merchandise tomorrow night. The Capitals will be covering all Ticketmaster charges if you order tickets from now through February 13th. Now, while this all seems very nice and as a way to give back to the fans, there are other teams that are doing much more. Some are getting 50% off merchandise. Some are giving – I can't remember which team. I want to say it was the Minnesota Wild, but it might be a different team. Maybe it was Nashville that actually says if you buy a ticket to the first game, you get the second game for free.
Oh, wow.
Something along those lines. It was something like – it was very along those lines where I went, well, that's how you really should be giving back. Covering the Ticketmaster charges, I mean, it's nice because those charges are bogus, that there's like four extra charges when you buy tickets.
What is convenient about charging me more money? That's what I've always wanted to know.
Yeah, convenience fee, because you're doing it at home. Do you have a store that we can go to buy tickets?
Just call it what it really is.
It won't be convenient?
Just call it what it really is. It's the suck it fee.
Now, just include them all into one, Ticketmaster fee. That's all you got to call it. At least be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Come with all these – anyways. Yeah. Yeah, so it's very cool. I'm excited to head down there tomorrow. Maybe I'll wear my first cap shirt tomorrow or something along those lines and say that, you know, that the NHL is back.
Well, the big thing that I saw on RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, it was a great article where people are protesting in their own way by seeing the players, but wearing the players' jerseys from over in Europe, wearing Dynamo jerseys and stuff. So whenever I go to a Caps game, whenever that may be, I'm wearing my Ovechkin Dynamo jersey.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I thought that was pretty clever. Unfortunately, I don't have any Caps players of their other jerseys. Now I have to go do that. I have like a USA Ryan Miller jersey, which I thought was pretty cool. I got a couple, but they're like random. I got a Quebec Nordiques jersey, but that'll just confuse people. It'd be nice to have like a I don't know. Anyways, you know, so it's hard. Like I was thinking, like, how would I support the players without supporting the team? Because everything I have that's player related also has the team on it. Maybe I'll like cover the Capitals part on my red shirt, and so it just says like, you know, Backstrom or Ovechkin on the back or something. Yeah, you know, I'll try and pull something here so I don't have to actually support them. But know, it'll be nice to go and see. And I support the players. I don't support the owners right now. It's hard. Like, I support the Capitals without supporting the Leoneses. Or actually, the best way to put it, I don't know if you caught this, but it was the there was a blog from one of the posts from the Peerless Prognosticator.
Uh-huh.
He had a great article, or a blog that I should say. He's called "I'm Sick, I'm Tired, and I'm Done." He said he's going to support the Caps. It was great. If anyone has a chance to go out there, look out the blog, the Peerless Prognosticator, and check it out. It's fantastic. He wrote that it's the first time he's ever giving up his season tickets. He's just not doing it anymore. He said he's sick, he's tired, he's done. He supports the Capitals, but he does not support Monumental, which is the Ted Leonsis run sort of sports mega company that controls the Capitals, the Wizards, the Mystics, and I'm sure some other teams eventually at some point. I agree with that. I don't support Monumental. I don't support Ted Leonsis right now, but I do support the Washington Capitals because I support those players because I want to go see them win.
I absolutely want to see him win, and I have all of your clothing fashion problems covered. All you have to do is wear your What the Puck t-shirt, and you're set. There you go. You're set. So there you go. You don't have to wear anything Capitals. You can wear What the Puck. Get it out there. Let people know about it. And hey, if more people want shirts, we can make them. So I'm just putting that out there as well. But have we covered everything for the Capitals so far? I'm so happy that we get to actually say that.
We're actually talking Caps hockey. It's crazy. The one interesting thing I thought was pretty funny – or not funny, but I thought it was really interesting over the weekend that I call everybody your favorite player. But your other favorite player, I'm surprised you don't have his jersey yet, Mr. Tom Pody played in Hershey for I believe the first time in 2 years he played in a year and a half, a real live hockey game. He not only scored a goal but had 4 points in a Bears win. I thought that was fantastic. I think it's going to be great to have him. He's only got 1 year left on his deal, so we're not going to lose. You know, it's not like if it doesn't work out, we still have his contract sitting there like we have the past 2 years, even though he has been a long-term injury reserve, so it hasn't hurt their cap. It hasn't created any cap problems. But he's gone after the season, so he could be a great guy to have once he gets back into real game shape to come back up to the Caps to sort of have that depth player of a Tom Pody. So we'll see how he does. Outside of that, I think we covered pretty much everything regarding the Washington Capitals.
All right, that's good to hear. Tom Pody, he's a name that you didn't really think about when you talked about training camp starting up this year. But him going down to Hershey, I feel good for him because you can tell he really loves playing hockey. And he hasn't played for almost 2 years, and he goes out there and does what he does in Hershey. So that's pretty amazing stuff. It'll be interesting to see what the Capitals do, whether or not they bury him in Hershey, kind of like what they did with DJ King, or if they actually do bring him back up. So only time will tell on Pody. Kind of crazy that
one of the new things with the CBA is that even if you put him in the minor leagues, his cap hit is still going to count. So they may dump him down in Hershey if they don't want to play him. He's still going to count against their cap. But at this season, I think they've got plenty of space that it's not really going to matter. So one way or another, he's going to be their depth player. I wouldn't be surprised if they just hang on to him in Washington and have him sit in the press box. Although it would be interesting when Orlov comes back, they're certainly going to have some decisions to make, especially with Jack Hillen also there. Because are you going to carry 9 defensemen? I certainly don't think that's the case. So maybe they send one of those guys down, or maybe Pody stays in Hershey until someone gets hurt and you bring him up then. But they have some interesting decisions to make once Orlov is healthy.
Absolutely. So we pretty much covered all the Caps news. And what we're going to do now is what every Caps fan usually does once or twice a year. We're going to go up 83. We're going to talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, so the Hershey Bears, they got a big weekend coming up. And they're playing right now as we speak. So tell me a little bit about the Hershey Bears. How are they doing?
Right now, Hershey is in third in the East Division at 20-17-2, good for 42 points. Because tonight, they just won in a shootout. I believe they won, 3-2 over the Sharks. So congrats to them. Phil Grubauer was backstopping the Bears. So that is awesome. I'm hoping to get up to a game pretty soon. I really like to go up there and check one out. And maybe they actually win for the first time for me. So that'd be nice, guys, if you could give me a win. But since we last spoke, they went 2-1, defeating the Connecticut Whale in back-to-back games, which is something interesting. To go back with the Caps real quick, and it sort of remind with the Hershey Bears. At one point in the season, the Caps are going to be playing in back-to-back games against Winnipeg in Winnipeg. You don't really see that very much in the NHL where you play one team and then you come back the next night. That's certainly going to create for some, I think, hostilities. If think if there's one big hit in the first game and then you get to play those guys again the next night, maybe that's a game where you do want a Tom Wilson sitting around ready to punch somebody. You don't really know. But anyways, back to the Bears. They're doing good. And then this Sunday, They'll be playing in the Outdoor Classic up in Hershey, which I think is pretty cool since we didn't have an Outdoor Classic in the NHL.
Yeah, they've been all over the place showing pictures of that rink up in Hershey. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. The weather report supposedly is pretty good. I think it's not supposed to rain or anything like that, and it's not supposed to be too hot like it was this past weekend. But the ice is down. All everything's down on the ice, the Outdoor Classic logo. On Saturday, they're having a Hershey Bears alumni game, which if this lockout was still going to go on, I was wondering if they were going to have like Mike Green and other people show up for the alumni game, since I mean technically he is a Hershey Bear alumni. And if he was locked out, then he wasn't playing anywhere. But that would have been kind of interesting to see. But they got a big weekend coming out, and if anybody else is interested, I do have two tickets available. So tweet me at Brando Cash if you want to talk about pricing and stuff. I'm pretty desperate right now to sell these tickets, so I will be pretty lenient on the price. So shoot me a tweet whenever you get a chance if you are interested. But Hershey Bears are doing pretty good. How was the effect of losing Braden Holtby, and even though Orlov hasn't played in a while, losing Orlov up to the Capitals when they came back? Was this a team that did they have to find themselves again, do you feel?
I don't think that it's going to hurt Hershey quite the same it's going to hurt Redding and losing their goalie, because I think Grabauer, as far as I can tell, he's doing just fine. So he's not having any real struggles, I guess, at the moment, but I haven't been up to see him. But he played well tonight and got them a win. And, you know, I think with Orlov being out, they really only lost Holtby and Orlov. And I mean, Schilling maybe for like two games because he was up with the Caps at their training week. So I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're really losing anything. The guys that were playing really every night are still there. Saubrin is still there. So they still have that. You know, Saubrin's a good AHL goalie. You know, he's kind of a veteran guy you want there to play with one of your young guys. So I don't think they really lose anything. Hershey doesn't so much. I think Redding is definitely taking a bigger hit right now.
I am seeing on Facebook that Redding is kind of hitting a slump right now. Last we checked, these guys were, you know, up by a lot of points in the standings, but they've kind of been in a slump and they've lost the last few games. What's going on right now with Redding? Is it just because of that loss of the goalie? Do you think that is really affecting their game?
I think a little bit. Yeah, I think some is the fact that they lost Philip Grabauer to the Hershey Bears, and I think it hurts. I mean, since we last talked, they went 0-3, losing to the Wheeling Nailers twice and to Trenton once, although two of those losses were in overtime or a shootout. So maybe this is just a slump that happened to coincide with the loss of Grabauer. Maybe it was a coincidence. We don't really know. I wouldn't read into it yet. I think it's going to take more than just a couple of games to really see if losing Grabauer is going to hurt them that much. But in the end, it really is the best thing for everybody. Maybe not Redding fans if it turns out to be a problem, but it really is the best thing because Grabauer was not going to get any better by playing in Redding. And again, that's not a shot at them. As we saw with the fact that they were winning so many games, that he had just been doing really well. He was beyond that skill level and that he was ready for a new challenge at the AHL, and we need him to play there. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I think they'll be okay. You know, it's only three games. It's not the end of the world. They actually got to play a full season. So losing three games in a row isn't going to kill anybody. They're still first in the Atlantic at 26-9-4, which is good for 56 points. A couple teams catching up to them, but you know, it's still relatively early. Well, not early, but you know, it's the middle of the season. Things are going. They're still doing well. Our boy Sergei Kostenko was in goal for two of those losses, giving up four goals in each. But it's still pretty early for him as in his season since he started. He was injured for quite a while. So we'll see how he does. I'm excited to watch him, to watch Grabauer and Hershey. I think they're all right.
Well, that's good. That's good. Is that all the news we got up in PA right now?
That's it right now. Just nice to see Hershey got another win tonight.
All right. Yeah, the way to go, Hershey Bears. Best of luck this weekend with the Outdoor Classic. And let's talk about, you know, the main league here, the NHL, finally back out of this lockout. What else is going on around the league?
I think the biggest piece of news right now is Wade Redden and Scott Gomez. What's going on with those guys? Both they had a little problem going on where the Canadians called up their GM, it was Mark Bergevin, called up Scott Gomez and said, more or less, we don't want you. Stay away. Stay home for the season, and then we're going to buy you out this summer. And the NHLPA was like, not cool. You can't do that. You have to let him play. So I think what they did is they created a deal where both Wade Redden of the New York Rangers, who's played the last 2 years with the Connecticut Whale in the AHL, and Scott Gomez are both going to be bought out. They've both been put on waivers right now. So currently they're on waivers, with both teams have the intention of buying them out if they clear waivers by noon Thursday. So if that happens, both guys become free agents. And honestly, I would not mind having either one of these players on the Caps, provided they are one-year deals at – right around or under $1 million. If you bring these guys, especially with, we don't know what's going to happen with, like, having a guy and like a Gomez, who, yes, he was great in Jersey. He signed that big stupid contract with the Rangers, and then he's pretty much been just a pile of crap since. But having a guy like there around for a year as a depth player is not going to hurt. And Redden, another defensive depth player who had a lot of talent, signed a big deal with the Rangers. Gee, where have I heard that before? And then turned out to not be very good. These are guys you can bring in who are veterans. Both really want to play, especially Redden, since he spent the last 2 years riding buses in the AHL. These are guys who want to play. I certainly don't think they're going to hurt. I think someone's going to sign them both to one-year deals at a very cheap cap hit to see how they do. These guys are going to play hard because they still want to play in the NHL, and so they're going to want to go out and show everyone they still have talent so that someone will sign them after the season. So we'll see how that goes. Kovalchuk and Datsyuk are both back with their respective teams, being the Devils and the Red Wings. Both played in the KHL over in Russia. They both played in the All-Star game over there because they felt that they – especially Datsyuk came out and said he felt like he needed to do it for the Russian fans. And then after the All-Star game was over, they both came back, and they're back in the U.S. The other thing going on with the KHL is Vyshnovsky, who's coming back to play for the Islanders. When he got traded over to the Islanders, he was not very happy. He did not want to play for them, and he tried to get the trade nullified and go back to his original team. But it sounds like he's going to be coming back and playing for them. I think his agent came out and said he's excited to play for the Islanders, which who knows if that's true. And we'll see how that goes with there. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded before the deadline, because I don't think he's very happy there. I think it's going to be one of those things like a Jeff Carter deal where he gets traded from Philly to Columbus. He was never very happy there, and then he got traded to L.A., and then won the Cup, so that worked out well for him. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy that ends up getting moved out.
Do you see him being a guy that's going to try to get his contract bought out and go back to the KHL? He seemed like he was pretty happy over there.
I think he'll stay in the NHL. I think he just doesn't want to play for the Islanders.
Well,
the Islanders are an up-and-coming team, technically, but they still kind of have that DiPietro contract sitting there. He's a guy that could be an interesting thought that they might actually buy him out. That could be an interesting one to look at this summer. But, no, I think Vyshnovsky, if he gets bought out, I don't even know what his contract is. I have to look to see if he even be eligible. I mean, for all I know, he's a free agent after the season. He's a guy that I don't think he's going to be with the Islanders next season. Unless they have a really good one this season. He goes, whoops, sorry, guys. In injury news around the NHL, the two big names right now are Danny Briere, I believe, is injured. He may not be ready for a few weeks. And Ryan Kesler of the Vancouver Canucks, he's out. And there's no real official word on when he'll be back. So that certainly is going to hurt the Canucks out there in Vancouver. And then one of the more interesting things going on right now is that the Montreal Canadiens are likely to start the season without PK Subban, as he is a restricted free agent and is holding out for a better contract. So unless that gets wrapped up pretty quickly, he is just sort of sitting there with nowhere to play, and the Canadians are, you know, I guess right now they're not willing to budge to try and, you know, not going to give him exactly what he wants. So that'll be something fun to watch. I wonder if he's going to be one of those guys that they just can't agree and ends up getting traded.
There's a good chance of that. We'll see what happens. I think the entire NHL has just kind of been flipped on its head because of this shortened season. So a lot of the GMs, a lot of the coaches, a lot of the players aren't thinking like they normally would. I think come the offseason is where we're going to see a lot of the moves, especially with the new CBA out there. So I think that this season we'll see a lot of the same people at the same teams, the same prices. But once the summer hits, I think there's going to be a lot of big moves. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be interesting, especially with the cap hit going down, like you said, with the new CBA. That's going to create a lot of problems, which I think is that could be holding up Subban's deal right now. So we'll see how that goes. I think, you know, he's a guy that if you're the Capitals, maybe you take a look at and see if you want to move out one of your some prospects or something to bring in a guy like that who has a remarkable amount of talent. That maybe you think about going, you know, I don't know exactly who you trade, and I certainly would not move a guy like a Carlson or an Alsner or, you know, possibly even a Mike Green to bring him in. But, you know, do you, you know, potentially think about moving somebody like an Orlov? I wouldn't move Forsberg. I wouldn't move Kuznetsov. You know, just something to think about. I don't think the Caps are going to pick him up. I think somebody, if he doesn't agree to a deal and he doesn't want to play there anymore, I think somebody's going to pick him up, and he's going to be a very good player for another team.
Yeah, dude's got a lot of talent. I can imagine anybody being lucky to have him. So that'll be very interesting. Do we have any other NHL stuff going on?
That's pretty much all I've seen right now. You know, everything's sort of it looks like Matthew Lombardi got traded today. I just saw this. He got traded from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Phoenix Coyotes. There's lots of little deals going down. Nothing real big. And I actually just saw, Luongo may or may not be traded. Who the hell knows what's going on with that guy? And then the Devils just signed Travis Zajac to an 8-year, $46 million contract extension. So that's pretty good for him. He's a great guy. I was hoping a while ago that the Caps would be able to pick him up when it looks like the Devils were having some money problems. But it looks like that's not going to happen anytime soon.
We'll see what happens. Man, what a fun show. What so good to have hockey and actual, like, not having to talk about court and who's mad at who or whatever. So this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad that we got to actually talk about hockey, and I can't wait to watch hockey this weekend. Of course, if you want to watch hockey and you want to follow along with us, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Game is this Saturday at 7. I know I'll be tweeting like crazy, probably in all caps, like our buddy up in Reading does all the time.
Yeah, I wonder if that dude's keyboard is broken or something.
I just think he's really excited, and he should be. There's hockey, so that's totally fine. That I think just writing in caps is kind of like crashing into the boards after you have a goal. So. That's just my point of view. But follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter too, and he's always tweeting about everything going on in DC. So where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, and you can always follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. The at Brando Cash Network is on Facebook. You can like us over there, facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll learn about this show and all the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network. Make sure you like us there because we got some crazy stuff scheduled for 2013 throughout this entire year. We're going to get bigger and better, and we can only do that with your help. So let people know that you're listening to What the Puck and that you enjoy our content. So make sure you tell people on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Instagram. Tout it. I don't know what other networks are out there. I just heard of one, pudding.to. take a picture and tell people you're listening to What the Puck on Pudding. That's weird, but
you're
still
saying a lot of things I don't understand.
I know, but there's so many of them out there. Just do it, tell everybody. If you're listening to us on something besides iTunes, there's so many different ways that you can listen to the show now. Go over to iTunes, click subscribe, listen to old shows, listen to this show. But if you click subscribe, every new episode that we do will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes. Get the podcast app if you have an iPhone. Subscribe on the iPhone. That way you don't have to hook up your phone to your computer anymore. It gets downloaded straight there. And make sure you write an iTunes review. It lets people know, people in the iTunes world, that we're out there. And we kind of, you know, build a little bit more of a fan base that way. But review it. Give us some stars. Write some stuff down. Anything will help us to kind of get the show a little bit bigger. So thank you so much for listening. Quick plug just for my own personal stuff. If you are a hockey fan, you know hockey comes on at 3 o'clock on NBC. A half hour before that, at 2:30 on WBAL, local NBC affiliate here in Baltimore. You can get it in D.C. as well, all over Maryland. A documentary that I worked on called Brick by Brick, and it's about the Stevenson University career architecture program and the Lego challenge that they do for freshmen in their freshman seminar class. It's a documentary that I was lucky enough to work on for the last 6 to 9 months, and it's a half hour long, and I got to shoot and edit some of the footage, and I had a great time working on it. But it's going to be on WBAL at 2:30 this Saturday, so if you get a chance, please go and check that out and watch that. And hey, after you get done watching it at 3 o'clock, you get to watch, I think it's the Bruins and the Rangers, and you get to have hockey on your TV after you see all these kids building this really cool stuff with Legos. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. Coach Dan, I can't wait to see some hockey this weekend. And it was great talking puck with you this week. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week, man.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.